Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, isn't life just a hop, skip, and a jump from happiness? What? You haven't tried that yet? Maybe it works. We're going to learn how to hop, skip, and jump in this show. It's very important in our lives, and I'm sure that we don't do enough of it. And to help us do that better is the author of a book called Hop, Skip, Jump. 75 Ways to Playfully Manifest a Meaningful Life. So we're going to play with the author of the book, Marnie K. Makridakis. Did I say that right, Marnie?
Oh, Peter, you win the prize. That was perfect.
Well, that's because I was playing with it.
Ah, yes. Well, you get a big old gold star. Yes,
oh,
that's
good.
Right.
We like gold stars. So, guess what? Your book is a lot of fun.
Thank you. It was sure fun for me. You know, it was the book that, you know, they always say, write what you know. And I often always say, write what you need to know. And this was the book that I needed to write because I had so much fun writing this book. And so I like hearing that it's fun.
Right. And you made it fun because it's a pleasure to play in it in the book because it offers so many ways to just enjoy the reading. It's not hard reading. You obviously needed to play when you wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important because the last thing that I wanted this book to be was another, heavy book on the self-improvement shelf. You know, oh, now I need to play too.
Oh my gosh.
That defeats the purpose of,
yeah.
You know, if we have to work to play, that defeats the purpose. And so I really wanted to make something where you could open up to any page and have a little visual treat and a very short, easy entrance to trying something new to play. I didn't want this to be a heavy, you know, cognitive, weighty self-improvement experience.
And yet it asks serious questions about the way that we travel through life, and are we productive enough if we're not playing?
Yeah, I think that play and productivity generally are thought of as polar opposites, and that play is the thing that happens after work is done. And what I really believe is that when we blend them together, not only are we more productive, but our play experiences are more meaningful. Right now in our culture where everything is, you know, so fast-paced, a lot of our, quote, playtime is really all about escape or numbing out, you know, because we are in this fight-or-flight mentality that our energy, our adrenals are screaming out to us. So we end up, you know, numbed out in front of the TV or a video game or getting lost on Facebook. And those things, you know, as helpful as they may be in the moment to escape, that's not meaningful play. And so I think that play is one thing that's really getting lost in this very fast-paced life that we're living right now.
Right, and we get caught up in how serious it is to achieve. You know,
mm-hmm.
This is a world of where the achievers survive. I don't even know that they succeed so much as they survive.
Yes, good distinction. Yeah, and it's also a world where achievement is equated with hard work, where we have both a cultural, societal, and very often an individual belief that hard work means that we're doing something right. And if something's hard, that means we're dedicated and committed. And, you know, then we're achieving and we're getting results. And that is, you know, it's something that is it's like walking through mud. It's very difficult to sustain energy when we're in that mode. And yet we think that that's what's valuable. We think that that is our valuable contribution, is working hard. So I really like to imagine a world where work feels like play and spend as much time there as possible.
Well, but let's look at it in a serious way, mm-hmm. of using this idea of hop, skipping, and jumping,
yes.
In order to manifest a more purposeful result. You know,
yes.
it's one thing, we're talking about being playful and enjoying life more, and yet then we also need to understand how to work playfully in a way that allows our minds to open up and to hop, skip, and jump through our serious work as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. When we connect into what I've called play portals, little ways to just step into play, we connect to our creativity, to our spontaneity. We kind of shake up the snow globe of our beliefs of any given situation. So when we're encountering resistance or fear or doubt or overwhelm or confusion, any of these things that might impede us really living life to the fullest, we can really benefit from a new perspective and shaking things up a bit. And so toys and playing with toys and doodling and writing poems and taking adventurous walks and wearing mismatched crazy socks. You know, these are all ways to just shake things up a little bit. And it's counterintuitive to think, okay, I have a huge busy day today and I'm going to go throw a frisbee. I don't have time to go throw a frisbee. But getting our bodies moving, stepping away from the work, we come back in a different sensibility, in a different somatic presence.
But
so
I
it
also,
actually saves us time,
but
you know,
I really,
to take that time out.
I really like the use of play in work, not mm-hmm. surrounding work and taking time out of work, but actually there are ways that you talk about working more playfully, for instance, just using your imagination more mm-hmm. during the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're stuck, maybe, you know, you can ask yourself, what would a superhero do?
Yes, yes. Or something I just did this morning in working on an article, and I was feeling a little stuck. And I have a chapter called The Animation of Everyday Objects, where you tap into an imaginary world where the things around you all come alive, you know, kind of like the scene in Mary Poppins where the room starts cleaning itself.
Right.
And just taking a moment to imagine, you know, what if my mouse was going to come alive and partner with me to make this happen? Oh, what if my coffee cup and this pen, what if they all could be animated? What would that look like? And it takes all of 30 seconds.
Or what would they say?
They would say that we're having a party.
Okay.
They would say that it's time to dress up and put on a circus here. And I think, you know, it's also really helpful just a very mindful presence of realizing, you know, everything around us can be a plaything. You know, it doesn't just have to be a toy that, you know, balancing a checkbook can be a playful activity. We can think of, I have an exercise about while you're balancing your books to also be counting your blessings and using bright colors to bring in being aware of the colors of your life. There's no reason why throwing a frisbee has to be more playful than washing the dishes. When we make things into a game or just bring our awareness, one easy way to do this is to think back to childhood and what kind of games and toys we enjoyed as a child, and then think, what can that bring me? What message, how can that inform me right now? I myself loved building. I loved building with Lincoln Logs and Legos. And so thinking about, you know, how does that help me right now? Oh, that helps me know that this is just one little piece at a time. And maybe I can actually take my little pens and pencils and build a little house right here and then look inside and see, imagine the surprise that's waiting for me inside that little house that I can then write about in my article.
And perhaps
that can then inform me right here, right now.
And perhaps we can label the building blocks for the different steps that we want to achieve.
Absolutely. Lincoln Logs, one right. link at a time, one right. link at a time.
I was also thinking, there was a guest on my show a while back who said if there were people who you're frightened of or are really upset with in many ways, and it's oppressive thinking, just imagine them wearing a clown face or donkey ears or a pig's tail, and that's what they have to now go out in the world with and see them that way. So we can always dress things up mm-hmm. in ways that take the heat off.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether we do it in our mind or even actually do it for real, which I even suggest little things like that, you know, make a little hat to put on your cell phone or, you know, your smartphone, and imagine that it's your partner, that it's your playmate, and, you know, just change instead of, you know, frantically going into your text, you know, just let smile when you look at that device.
That's great. And so the idea is to use our imagination as much as possible. Now, let's talk about these three different stages
yes.
that the book is about, the hop, then the skip, and then the jump. And actually, it was interesting for me to understand my relationship to each of those and how I was better at one and not as good at another. And, you know, we can all hop around, but can we really skip or jump? Or maybe we're good at jumping and mm-hmm. we're not much of a skipper.
Yeah, so hop, skip, jump, it, aside from being fun words that are fun to say, and aside from implying a close proximity, because play really is a hop, skip, jump away because it's so close, they also are very important because they stand for different phases of the manifestation process, which I'll just briefly explain. The hop phase is about dreaming and planning and brainstorming and mapping it out and visioning and really getting in touch with what you want. The skip phase is about experimenting and exploring and trying new things and meandering and dabbling. And the jump phase is about consciously stepping into action and completion. And there is a time and a place for all three of these. And we all have, as you just said, Peter, a place in which we are naturally most strong or most comfortable. But the idea is to blend all three of these together. It's not that one is better than the other. You know, the goal isn't to pick up the book and say, okay, I've got to learn how to jump, unless that's the place where you want to strengthen and activate your energy. I think ideally we are most successful when we're touching all three of them. I'm a jumper. That's my natural lane, but I have greater satisfaction and better results when I put more time, energy, and play into the hop, the planning, the daydreaming, and the skip, the exploring, the exploring and experimenting.
Sure, and the jump then is really the commitment,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest thing for me anyway. Is do I believe in this? Whatever I'm skipping around with,
mm-hmm.
do I believe in it enough now to take the jump?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll only take a partial jump or mm-hmm. a short jump and then back up and wonder when I can take the next jump. and sometimes I end up not taking enough jumps. Not that I don't jump, I just don't always jump as solidly. In retrospect, when I look back, I say, oh, I should have jumped stronger, longer, harder.
And then on the flip side of that, someone like me, my question, just as yours is, am I really committed to this to jump? Is because I do have that natural inclination to just go all in and commit. And so my question, my growing edge is, do I have the sufficient, the full interest, the commitment to really think this through and to really fully envision this and really try some things so that I don't look back with a similar regret and say, oh, I really could have planned that through better. So these right. two opposites just in the two of us show that, you know, one isn't better than the other. It's about blending all of them and tapping into all of those energetics.
Right.
More frequently and with greater balance.
I think I'm best at hopping. And I hop around
great.
A lot, and I have a wonderful imagination, and I'm an intuitive, so I allow the universe kind of to flood me with all kinds of amazing ideas and truths and knowledge. And it's amazing what comes through. And that's wonderful. But then the idea in the skipping phase, I think, is to find the fit of it, to feel it out and to see and to make sense with it and to understand when there could be a possible jump from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And to look for those cues, to use your intuition, which is, as you've said, for yourself, you know, your instinct is very strong. And then when you're in that skip phase to really flesh it out and try different things, then you can use your intuition to help you find that place of being ready to jump.
Right.
There's the quote that that sooner or later, it's by the Bert Lauer who played the Lion in The Wizard of Oz. If you stay on the merry-go-round enough, if you stay on the merry-go-round long enough, sooner or later you will catch the brass ring. And that moment right before you catch the brass ring, that's that sweet spot to look for when you transition from skip to jump. And you know, yeah, I'm going all in.
Right. And it takes a lot of courage and even comfort with with that sweet spot that we look for, and once it's there, it's, you know, there's no stopping you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And that's why, you know, the time and energy that we spend in the hop and skip stages are really, really, it's really put to good use because they're so foundational, and then they allow the jump phase to flow with less resistance. And so I think the first part of identifying, you know, where our natural strength is and where we want to develop, and I've got a quiz to help identify that and explore that a bit. I think the first piece is making some peace with ourselves, because we've likely heard things, you know, people who are predominantly hoppers have heard things like, oh, you're just a dreamer, you never do anything, or they may hear that, you know, in their own self-talk, and skippers here, you just start so many things, you've got so many projects, but you never finish anything. And jumpers here, you never think things through. And so part of understanding our natural inclinations is really coming to peace with who we are and understanding the value of what we bring and the value of that phase. And knowing that, yes, all of that daydreaming, all of that, you know, following the signs from the universe and the shiny things and trying to see what fits and what doesn't, all of that is setting the stage and the foundation so that the jumping comes with more ease.
Right. And the difficulty is actually enjoying the skipping too much.
Yeah, yeah, I think that is a difficulty for a lot of people. And again, you know, everybody's different. For me, naturally, it's hard to skip because I want to get right to the payoff, you know. But
okay.
Skipping really helps. So we're all different. But yeah, there is that place where we're looking for that place of commitment. a good example of how there's a time and place of each of the three phases is, let's look at if something becomes frustrating, right? You know, we're inevitably going to come up against something that feels frustrating, or there's resistance, or it feels overwhelming. So in the hot phase, when you encounter resistance, that's a time to kind of dig deeper and see, you know, well, what's this about? What am I resisting? What am I afraid of? What would look different? What would I like instead? It's a time to kind of dig into the fuller vision and see what's going on. When you are consciously in the skip phase, if you encounter resistance, go somewhere else. Don't stay there. You know, I say what moves us is what moves us, which simply means whatever is moving us emotionally is what moves us forward. And so when you are consciously in the skip phase, don't stay where you're stuck. Go to where else your energy is taking you. Go to what's drawing you in. When you're in the jump phase, when you have consciously said, okay, here I am in the jump phase, when you encounter resistance or doubt or overwhelm, I say, get in and get out. And that's where play can be really helpful, where it's a matter of just, you know, moving through that resistance, but rather than the old paradigm of, you know, just nose to the grindstone, push through it, what I encourage is, okay, let's, you know, put yourself on a timer and imagine that you're on a game show and you have to finish this article, and you'll win $1 million if you finish it in half an hour. Or, you know, give yourself give yourself a game board where you can actually move the pieces as you go, or create a new clock that will keep time as you move. So little playful ideas to help distract you from whatever overwhelm is in the way, because ideally you've done the work in the hop and the skip phases before that. And then that way a little play can go a long way and just snap you right back into action.
Right, and just the little things like you talk about in the book. You talk about setting up priorities, and if that feels too heavy, you know, some of these needs of building can be intimidating, mm-hmm. and so you can play your way through them, like you have in the book. You talk about, instead of priorities, you talk about glorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about enjoying the process more, setting it up so that you can play with it. You enjoy working with haiku.
Uh-huh.
And so you play with words. As you talked about earlier, you play with colors. There's also sounds. And there's so many ways to have fun in the process. And enjoy the being creative just in the moment of serious things that we're doing, like instead of having priorities, having glorities. So in other words, let's glorify each part of the process and create prizes and make it fun.
You know, that word glorities is a really important one, and it actually in my team, my staff for my business, instead of marking things high priority, you know, that scary red exclamation point, we'll put glory in the subject line. I mean, that's something I ask of everyone on my team, because it changes. Instead of like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, it brings forward, yes, this is the glory of our expression. This is the something that is right at the top of what we, what, as you said, what glorifies our life right now. And it brings a smile instead of a sense of dread. That's something so small to just put glory in the subject line for important emails to coworkers, or, you know, I even do it with my spouse. It makes such a difference.
Right. And then I'm also thinking of decorating our lives in different ways. If, you know, you go into banks nowadays and there's no sign of a desk or any no one's allowed to have anything personal there. And
yeah,
all you get
yeah.
are people in suits and blank walls. And then anything that they're promoting, of course. But that's all. There's no sense of anything personal. And so we really need to create a personal environments that work for us and that give us joy each day, that have photos, have words, have phrases, have blessings, have lists of gratitude that bring us into our inner warmth and allow us to be challenged in a much more positive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making our environments work for us and play for us has a huge impact. One of my favorite tools that I use, and that's in the book, is turning. Well, it's taking the words literally when we're blocked and actually playing with blocks. I've got a fun template where you can download or you can make your own ABC blocks. And on each side of the blocks, on the A stands for actions, B stands for beliefs, and C stands for choices. And just having these three little blocks as a way you can tactile with your hands, change and interact with affirmations and choices and see how your actions, beliefs, and choices work together. Just having these three little blocks on your play space is a way to play with your blocks, your limitations, your resistances. Such a small thing, but it can be very, very powerful. And sometimes engage more interactivity. I remember teaching a workshop and we were working on little ABC blocks and, you know, someone said, wow, I think I'll actually look at these because I put up quotes and then I don't even see them. They just kind of fade into the background. And this is making me put it in my hands. So that's a favorite tool that I think is right. It's fun and easy.
And use different colors on each side of the block.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, good. So we're getting near the end of the show. And it's been really a lot of fun hop, skipping, and jumping with you. You're good at that.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And it's a fun topic to talk about because, you know, it's such a – play is such a – it's a very wide topic with a lot of breadth and a great impact. It's something that animals do naturally and children do without thinking. And we put a lot of focus on it in, you know, as parents or in child development. And then its focus kind of gets dissipated as we get older. And so I'm excited for more conversations that talk about the importance of play, not as an activity, but as a state of mind, and really bringing into our general consciousness.
That's great. So people should really pick up a copy of Hop, Skip, Jump just to enlighten themselves, to be able to lighten up and to hop, skip, and jump through life much more playfully and enjoyably. So Marnie K, middle initial K, Makridakis.
Yes.
I'm
another gold star.
Yeah. Oh, I love pronunciations. So it's so much fun talking to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so helpful to chat with you.
Oh, thank you for having me and for stirring up all the energy in that stew.
Oh, good. Okay, and this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. Lots going on. Check my website, heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.